put those things, two things in mind, you will discover why you will do good business. Generally, people are very selfish and they are very wicked. So when you see a problem in town, don't assume it's a natural occurrence. It's, you call it topography. You'll be amazed that it's a spiritual topography of wickedness that's keeping everybody in bondage. I'm telling you. You just got to, I mean, in time, why should fuel be expensive? Then, as God gives you opportunity, you build a station that size also. Open it somewhere. Pour in your fuel and be said, look, what you are trying to do, let me say this again, wait, so many things to say. But we'll come back to them along the lines we're going on. It is not every business, especially, listen to this, it's not every business you will do in life that will make good money for you. And you must never stop doing a business just because it's not making good money. Now, I didn't say you will be losing. You didn't know what I said? There are businesses you keep open just because it's serving a particular purpose and it's paying the staff. And once it's balanced out, you leave it. You keep it running. You never shut it down. The banks will say, that's accounting. Let me say it to you again. Human beings are very wicked. Arthur Andersen was a very wicked company. You know that. They were a world-renowned accounting firm, but they were a bunch of wicked souls. How do I know? They watched WorldCom. No, they didn't watch. They made Enron collapse and take a lot of people's money with it. WorldCom collapsed, took a lot of people's money with it. Because of them, they were the accountants that was meant to make the shareholders feel safe. But because Enron could pay them $100 million at a go in accounting fees, they refused to talk. What am I trying to explain? Don't let any so-called experts, this is how it is done, deceive you. Human beings, what is driving them is different from what is driving you. They will tell that that business is not good. What do they mean by the business is not good? The total worth of the business is maybe 25 million naira. And all the profit that comes to your pocket in a year is 250,000. So they think it's not a good business. That's how they counted it. How are you counting your own? You say, well, number one, I'm not losing money. It's not taking anything from me. Do you understand my point? Two, I have 1,000 members of staff. They are working. They are getting a good salary. Their families are being fed. Their children are going to school. The fathers don't have to beg and be a burden on his relatives. And then what are they producing? It's serving the community. Forget that. Listen, there's what is called the priestly corner of life. That's why you're a Christian. You must understand that you can do something as unto the Lord. My favorite example, you've heard it, Mary Kay Ash. The day I read her story and saw the way they ran the company, I said, look, these people are not making too much money, the way people think. But the woman had a lot of money in her days. Do you know why? Most people think it was from the cosmetics business. It was not. She struck oil, physical oil, crude oil. She invested money in a business that the people, the son came with a young man one day that this my friend has discovered one way of prospecting for oil and it works. And the mother gave them money to go and invest. A short time later, they struck oil and her share in the proceeds in month number one was over $100,000. She wasn't making that from Mary Kay Cosmetics. Do you get my point? It's called the priestly corner of life. There are things you do that is like, let me give you an example. There was a time I was doing small, I was doing a bit of private practice a few years ago. That was when I first hired this place. I just got a young lady to stay around here, see my clients, take my specimens and all of that. It wasn't good business. Number one, I was not even putting a lot of attention to it. So as is typical of me, I would have just shut it down. I didn't need the extra hassle. For a long time, I did not. That thing stayed months after I would have closed it down for one single reason. What was the reason? I was paying the young girl who was doing the work. I said I couldn't drive her away. Then one day, it was a young girl, all right? She was still going to secondary school. She had just finished secondary school. Then one day she said that she was going to Lagos so that she can take an exam and all of that. As soon as she left, boom, I closed the door. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain, all right? So please, get that point. As believers, anything you want to do, first remember, it must be adding value. That is number one. Money is a gift of God. Wealth, do you understand? Riches, let me put it like that. The blessing of God, they make rich. Do you follow that? They make rich. When God sees you faithful in whatever you are doing, that's when he makes you rich. Don't ever forget. Number one thing for you as a believer is you must be doing what? Adding value. You know, remember, if you there's a joke I've told a number of times. There's one brother in church, a pastor in my church. Anytime I see his suit on him, I used to wonder, why does this guy wear this kind of suit? It looked like, you know, when they say that somebody fell inside water, there's a way the suit used to look on him. It didn't cross my mind that it was not his size, that was the problem. The man who sold the suit to him, actually, later on I heard the story, said the man said, after he wore it, said, let me tell you something. Don't ever wear any suit bigger than this or smaller than this. It's just your perfect size. The same man sold a suit to try to sell a suit to me once. But because me, I don't listen to is a man trying to sell me something. And that's a bad thing. You should listen. It should be your aim if you sell that people should start buying because you said so. Do you get my point? My wife sold something to a man some time ago. And the man looked at it and said, are you sure? She just said, trust me. That was all the man needed. If this madam says it is good, it is good. There was a wristwatch that she bought. I liked it. So I said, why don't you wear it? Let me pay for it. And that kind of instead of selling it. She wore it after some time. We saw some defects on it. You know the first thing she said? She said, praise God. Now, let me tell you the truth. I bought the watch $100. No, it wasn't cheap. That's before cost of shipping and cleaning and all of that. It was $100. Yet when I found a defect on it, you know, the first thing my wife said was what? Praise God. You know what the praise God was about? I didn't sell it to a customer. The defect, I can stomach. But it's supposed to be a reputable brand that I would have guaranteed it. I know what she does under such circumstances. Somebody said, look at the watch you sold to me. They had this defect. You just say, can I have it back? I'll either give you another one or I give you your money back completely. You do those things because you understand that the good name is better than the money you are collecting. So the brother looked at it and said, they carry suit come to my house. I wore the thing. I said, this thing is tight. This thing was tight. I said, don't think it's tight. So let me give you advice. Don't wear anything bigger or smaller than this. This is just your perfect size. Now, I didn't know he had told it to a man who is sold an oversized one too. Of course, I didn't listen to him. I just walked, my wife was in the bedroom, so I just walked upstairs. As soon as I entered, before I said anything, he said, what is this? This is small. I said, don't worry. I just wanted somebody else to say it. And I went downstairs, removed the thing and gave it to him. He said, oh, I remember now. It wasn't you I brought it for. It was this other man. And I said, okay, so do you need to remember who you brought it for? You were looking at it on my body. But because you are seeing me as a cash cow, not a man to bless. That's Christian business. You must never, listen to me, you must never ever, listen to this, you must never ever see your customer as a man who brings money. See him as a man that God sent you to bless. Do you get my point? See him as what? A man that God sent you to bless. Not somebody who's supposed to bring money. That way, if you are selling clothes, somebody wants something, it doesn't fit him. Or even if he wants it, say, no, this thing doesn't fit you. If he insists, at least you have done your best. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Not say, some people will say, manage it now. In Jesus' name, may you never tell your customer, manage it. Why should you buy something on day one and you already manage it? You know, you enter a place to buy shoe. They say, no worry, it will expand. Why should it expand? Why should it expand? No, ask yourself, why should it expand? I'm buying it brand new. And like one of my friends said, you've forgotten I have to wear it for it to expand. I can't even wear it now. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, there's nothing, as a believer, I told you, put money last. Money will come. Did I hear an amen? It will come. You will have plenty. You won't know what to do with it. That's prophetic. Say amen. You will have it so much. If you want to burn it for breakfast, you will be able to afford it. Did I hear an amen? No, you won't burn it, but you have the ability to. So, listen. That's what I call poverty mentality. You just want to grab, grab, grab. Listen, your first assignment is to bless somebody's life. Anything you want to do, that must be number one. If people won't think of you, with blessedness in their heart, that is, they are happy, then you are not doing good business. One man was calling my wife the other day, we hardly had time, but we're traveling. The day we're traveling, my wife said, let me just quickly rush, see him. He wanted to buy something, drop some things for him. He said, do you know why the man was calling so much? It was Christmas time. He wanted to buy some perfumes and all of that. And he said, the reason why he was calling her is that at least he was sure that if he bought from her, they would be genuine. That's all. You know, he didn't remember that they were cheap or not. That was not his issue. His issue, I don't want to carry perfume this Christmas time. And spray. First thing, like we say in Yoruba, na ofege. I wanted him to be genuine. Let me just add this one again. Listen, first thing you must do in life is cultivate a good name for yourself. You don't have to make money initially. And oh God, our time is going. I will discuss how to survive without making money. Yeah, it's important. How to survive without making money in that business. I'll take that one maybe later. That will be the first thing I'll discuss tomorrow. I call it the Laban and Jacob principle. That's why you will get the point. You must make somebody else prosper before you make yourself prosper. Do you understand my point? Yes. Because sometimes, when you want to do something, we have to be practical. So when I'm practical, is that you have to plan very well. If you want to do a business, okay, I'll use me as an example. Am I not jumping ahead of myself? Okay, let me just introduce it, then we'll come back to it. You have a skill, you have a gift. I mean, like, you can develop a skill, a calling. It's different from a skill, all right? Like, I went to school, trained as a doctor. That was a training. God granted me the ability to go through the training, and I'm a pathologist today. But my calling really is to teach. You understand? First and foremost, I teach the word of God. I also teach my students pathology. What I teach them is a skill I gained along the line. But this is the interesting part. That skill, I use it till now. And maybe for some time after now, I still use it. I use that skill to earn money to take care of me, my wife, my kids. Therefore, it is very easy for me to do ministry as a ministry. I don't know where I get the point. Listen, if you are hungry, it is hard to preach a balanced message. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not deceiving you. As people are going out, you could look them with anger in your eyes. Do you know what I've eaten? Say, Pastor, how are you? Go away. You don't understand. What the guy is saying is that the offering you guys gave last time was not big. A hungry man is a difficult man. And that's a righteous one, not a wicked one. A righteous, hungry man. Lemuel said it in the Bible. He said, give me food that is convenient for me. Make me not too rich or too poor. He said, if I'm too rich, and that's true, I take the name of the Lord in vain. If you have more money than you know how to handle, you go mentor. All right? He said, and if I'm too poor, I will steal. A different kinds of stealing. I mean, just give me 200 naira there. Tomorrow. You know, say nothing's going to happen tomorrow. That is stealing. I have a friend who used to steal, a medical doctor who used to steal. He didn't know he was stealing. I want to call him and tell him, oh boy, I hope you don't know what he used to do those he was stealing. He knows you are traveling tomorrow and he won't see you for the next 2 years. He borrows money from you today. Of course, he can't. That's stealing. You don't have to go and break a door at night to steal. You can buy and not pay. You don't have a shirt, so you go and meet my wife and say, madam, please let me buy this shirt. Okay, I'll go pay you small. You know you don't have money to pay. That is what? Stealing. What am I trying to explain? It's very difficult to have, because at the beginning, one thing you must never do if you are doing business is to put pressure on your business to return money to you. It's crucial you don't put pressure on your business at the beginning. That's why you see most people who did business and did well, the only people that got paid at the beginning were their staff. They got nothing. They didn't get anything. At the beginning, they paid everybody else apart from themselves. And if you see the way Americans build their business models, sometimes they will call the staff and say, I don't have money to pay you, but I give you 1% of the business for the job you do for the worst 1 year. If the man had faith, I say in life, look, you can buy with money, you can buy with faith. Those who have faith at the beginning, when the business does well, they all become multimillionaires. Take something like Google. If you read the story of Google, a lot of those big guys, that's when I say big now, very smart guys who work for them at the beginning, didn't get anything. Just barely got enough money to put body and soul together. But all of them are multimillionaires today. Because what was their payment? They call them stock options. What they call stock options is that they give you the option of buying the stock at a very, maybe like if at the beginning it was worth $2. They give it, okay, you have 10,000 at $2. You have not paid, but it's yours. By the time you are paying for it, maybe $200 for one, but you still pay $2. That's what they call an option. They're looking at me like they haven't heard that expression before. Okay, maybe they haven't. But that, when you hear stock options, that's what it means. All right? That is, because by that time, maybe the thing is now worth $100. But at the beginning, the deal was that you buy 10,000 at $1 for one. And that's signed. You don't pay. It's on your name. When you now need it, you now pay the, you don't ever have to pay. If you don't want, you can walk away and never pay. But you have the right to pay. So if you now pay, by the time it's already worth $100 outside, but your own is $1. So you go back there and say, where are my 10,000 units? At $1 for one, you pay the $10,000 for 10,000 units. Instantly, you sell it for $100 for one. What I'm trying to say, at the beginning, nobody could get paid. So all of them are putting their faith on the success of the enterprise. You are getting the point I'm making. It's so crucial at the beginning that, look, you don't put pressure to grab money out of your business. You try to put value. That's what I'm saying, all of these things. Don't ever do anything where the output of value is not the primary thing. How do you survive during that time? Number one, learn to abyss. Remember, learn to abyss. Learn to trek. Learn to take bike instead of taxi. Learn to enter buses. And so life be. Those who are entering buses are not dying. Do you get my point? Learn to buy shirts that you can keep clean and they last long. Don't buy 100% cotton. They tear after a short time. Make sure it's mixed with polyester. 75% cotton, 25% polyester. It will last you forever. Buy two or three of that. Make sure it's well washed and ironed every morning. Why are you going to buy a multicolor? You see that kind of suit when I buy for me, we get bold white lines. If you buy that, you have a problem. But me, I can afford to wear that one because I have plenty of suits now. But if you are going to have only one suit, make sure it's black. You start with black, then you go to dark blue, shades of brown. Then when they are like 7, 8, 9, you can now start wearing purple, green. You know, there's one suit JK used to wear that time. It's made of jeans. You cannot wear anything. That's how you learn to abyss. You are chasing women. Say, ain't take me to Crunch. You say, Crunch. You don't know cholesterol is not good for you. So all this natural food, Abacha, is very good, you know, natural. So it's rich in, you start speaking Greek and Hebrew, it's rich in this, rich in that, waiting. The truth, you tell the truth, say, look, for now, this is the understanding I have. You know what I mean? The understanding is engineered by, you know what I mean? What we call chronic pocketitis, you know, so. Guys, that's how to abyss. You say, I'm wedding, I must buy gold ring. If you don't have money for gold, listen, there are different levels of costume jewelry. There are some that go for 25 naira for one. Some go for 250. Some can go for as high as 1,000 for just ring. So you buy, if it's 25 naira, buy like 10. Keep it. One for the wedding day. It will fade after 1 week. Throw them. And you go, say, where your ring at? I don't like to wear ring all the time. Nothing spoil. I learn it to abyss. Let me prophesy again. A day will come. If you want to bask in gold, you'll be able to do it. They asked Mr. T. How many of you remember Mr. T? You know that thing he used to put on his neck? They were pure gold. All those jewelry you see on his wrist, in here, neck, everywhere. All of them, his ears, his head, they were all pure gold. They said, why did you do it? He said, I wanted to show people I could afford it. Simple. It became like a trademark, you know, part of his, personality, what do you call that, an image. But the point is, I said, look, I used to be a slave as a black man, tied with, you know, ordinary iron. Now I'm a slave tied with gold. You will reach that level without hearing an amen. Yes. Another way by which you survive those kind of periods, you're facing your ministry, but then you can do things on the side that is not the ministry, but God knows that you need to output maybe your skill. Same pastors that do recharge card business. They preach to you on Sunday or Wednesday or any other day they are doing seminar. In between, they are dealing with Zane, MTN, Glow, doing their business. Yes, it's very, very godly. Nothing wrong with it. It's somebody who, you see, I told that it's understanding that makes a difference between one person and the other. What the person is really trying to do. It's not saying that, if I don't do this, I can never make it in life. No. It's like, this is a season. Let me cushion the effect. You don't start a business and suddenly, you know why most businesses, a lot of those dot-com companies collapsed? The money, where did the money go? If you want to collapse and the money is still there, you should have enough money to give back to the people who put it, Abby. But what did they start with? You give somebody venture capital, $1 million. First thing he does is to go and buy a car for the image of the company. Nonsense. First money you get, you being used to put value into, not image. You don't need image for nothing. The image you need is what? Integrity, truth. Let people know that you're a skilled workman, you're a man of truth, the man of integrity. If you walk into their offices in shorts and t-shirt, what difference will it make? You've seen Steve Jobs. You see him wear suit. Now wearing canvas, wear jeans. Wear one t-shirt. And now that the man is sick, the share price of Apple is dropping. Because the man is sick and he said he's taking 6 months medical leave. Now jeans and t-shirts. So forget all this. I've told you, it's poor people that want to impress people. Do you get my point? It's poor people that try to impress people. The man who's well to do, look, that's why I soak my garri with pride. Nobody will say it's poverty. You know what called soaking garri? Yes, I put and put granite. You can enter my house and say, I'm hungry. I enter kitchen, put garri, put granite. I say, oh, you go chop? You say no. You sit down there with a gist. If you think I'm poor, it's your personal problem. May I love it. Oh God, may you succeed in life. You'll be able to do all your idiosyncrasies with pride. You know, you do all your madness in public and nobody can complain. If you're Michael Jackson, you wear your trousers like this. They won't say it's poverty. They think go rich. Yeah. I mean, if tomorrow now Puff Daddy shows up with a pink shirt, green suit, you know, green jacket, and yellow trousers, that's cover of ovation instantly. You try and now they say don't decrease. The Lord is good. What am I going to explain? So there's a season, all right? There's a season. You learn how to survive that season. But what I've emphasized, let me close now because of time. What I've tried to emphasize is that the first thing you do is that a good business, what? Must add value. Let me say this to you again. Money is a gift of God. Let's start learning to do our things as believers. If I'm doing service to somebody, I'm serving the Lord. Do you get my point? I am a minister of God's blessing. You follow what I'm saying? I'm a minister of God's blessing. God has sent me to go and put value into your life. You are not somebody I'm supposed to grab money from. Yes, you will pay for my services, I know. But the first thing I'm thinking about is, what are you going to get? Are you getting my point? There was one day Henry Ford wanted to hire a man. He said, okay, how much do you want to get paid? Anyway, after they discussed, Henry Ford said, all right, why don't you work? Let us see how much you are worth and we'll pay you that amount of money. So the man said, I usually get more than I'm worth. And the first said, well, I sacked the man after 3 months. It's obvious he normally gets more than he's worth because he wasn't worth nothing. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, he sacked after. What I'm remembering is that, look, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Are you getting my point? You strive that people, when they have finished dealing with you, they will feel like they got more than they paid for. That's the better thing to do. That's what you are striving for. Later on, when we, along the line, we can handle some questions on how to balance your cost and all of that. I'm not saying throw away money, but it's what they call satisfaction. Now, you know, I told my wife that, because there are some kind of businesses my wife likes to do. The business she really likes to do, she has not done any one of them yet. The one she really, really likes, all right? She'll get there later, all right? But she'll get there. But one of those things I used to say, it runs in her blood. I think she inherited it from her mother, all right? You know, there's a faith inside Lois, Eunice, and was also in a... Who? Timothy, thank you very much. I wanted to see whether you knew what I was talking about. Now, I used to tell my wife that the day you finally start running a restaurant, anything like that, one thing people must never pay for, this is Pastor Banky's opinion, is water. I think it's wickedness. You enter a restaurant, you pay them money for their rice, their pounded yam, whatever it is. Can I get water? They bring you a bill of 100 naira again for water. I think it's weak. Now, this is my opinion. I think it's bad. They bring, okay, what we have? We have Swan, Ragolis, Eva, you are all of them. They don't have this bag, sachet water. They won't have. They have those ones. Say, which one do you want? They say, what's wrong with you? I want water I don't have to pay for. Okay, we don't have. Or we rather have Coke, Fanta. The Coke of which is not 50 naira, it's 100. I don't think it's right. That's my personal opinion. So I told my wife, if you do that, One thing that must be free is water. You will have ever pure everything for those who choose that's the one God said they should drink. Do you understand? I said, but, you must have what free water for those who want to drink. I can't pay you 500 naira for a plate of food. I must buy water on top of it. What's wrong with you? I pay you more. Food, you want to run a restaurant? Make sure anybody who charge 10,000 if you like. But when I'm leaving, I must be full. I say, I go finish, chop, finish. By the time I leave, I go buy a biscuit for road, munch on top of it. The Lord is good. What have I tried to explain? I'll continue from there. That whatever you want to do, the first thing you must try to do is what? Add value. Satisfy people. Let me stop there because of time. The Lord is good. Please let us close. I know you have a question. Okay, you don't. If you have a question, please write it down. Leave it for me here. I'll answer when we'll come back at 2:30 in the afternoon. All right, let us pray. Father, we'll give you thanks for this morning. Thank you for what we are learning.